And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I'm Benjamin Orr.
And I'm Lou Olson.
And the Brewers, we're hoping, you know, at some point this season, maybe, you know, now or tomorrow or whenever, you know, eventually turn it around from, you know, what May was, that disastrous month. So far, they haven't really done that. The pitching really hasn't really done anything much different. It's just the starters are just getting battered every way they go out. And you have to wonder, you know, this is something that needs to change. And clearly, you know, last night, you know, they lost big. Iardo did well, but then he gave up 5 runs to Oakland. And then tonight, Peralta got pounded by the Phillies. So, you know, at some point, you know, which starter is going to break out, especially with Marco Estrada now on the DL? You know, they're down a guy.
You know, it's hard right now to even imagine winning a game. It happens so rarely and fleetingly. You know, the starting pitching is worrisome. I toss and turn at night thinking about it. And I just don't know. You know, I saw just a little bit ago that Gorzolani's going to make a spot start, and it's like, boy, we are in a lot of trouble. It's hard to look for even a silver lining because no one is, you know, the win that we got the other day against Oakland, John Exford got the win. So a starter hasn't had a win for the Brewers, I feel like, in maybe 2-3 weeks.
Actually, Peralta just got one the other day, but I mean, other than that, yeah, it's been really scarce for them.
It's, man, it's really bad. And I just, you keep waiting for something to happen, but the problem is that nothing happens. Nothing's getting better. The offense is sputtering huge. You know, it's bad all around.
Yeah, and you have to look at June is what a lot of people thought would be a turnaround month for the Brewers because, you know, obviously they have 4 games with Philadelphia. That's tough. Then they play Miami for 3. They play Houston for 3. They play the Cubs for 3. But, I mean, you throw Cincinnati in there, you throw Atlanta in there, you throw Pittsburgh in there. It's not exactly a cakewalk month, but, I mean, the Brewers should win a few more games than they did in May. At least we're hoping so because, I mean, you can't really go into any game underestimating your opponents, and I don't think the Brewers do that, especially this season. But you at least hope they can win 2 out of 3 against Miami.
You would like to think that, but, you know, you look at stuff like the Astros sweeping the Angels, and you just kind of go, well, that's... I wish we could sweep somebody.
Yeah,
it's been a while. You know, yeah, the schedule looks nice on paper, but, you know, to other teams it looks even better because they're like, yeah, we get Milwaukee for 3 games. So it's hard for me to truly feel like things are going to turn around because right now they're just punching bags. Everybody's just beating them senseless. And you know what it is? It's not even for the whole game. They're just beating them senseless in the first 4 innings, and then that's enough. And that's where my frustration comes from.
Because, you know, offensively now, switching gears, you know, Ricky Weeks has had, well, you know, probably one of the worst starts of his career. And in doing so, the Brewers brought up, you know, Scooter Gennett, who got his first hit last night. But, you know, looking at it as a fan, from what I see on Twitter, from what I see really all over the place is I feel like this was a bad move because I feel like it started a really unnecessary war with Scooter fans and with Ricky Weeks fans. Because if Scooter does well and Ricky Weeks does bad, then does that mean Ricky Weeks fans are going to hate Scooter and vice versa? If Ricky Weeks does well, does that mean Scooter fans are going to hate Ricky Weeks? And you don't really want to see that happen either way. You want to support both guys, and I do. But personally, I still think calling up Gennett was a complete bad move. I just don't think he was ready. And I don't get why you think he's going to be a step above what Ricky Weeks is and constantly starting him when Weeks is starting to get hits now. He's starting to get on base. I don't really see what the point of bringing Gennett up was, at least now. I thought for sure he'd be a September call-up, not, you know, a June call-up.
Well, there's so much to talk about on this topic. I mean, it's no secret that I started the Free Scooter campaign, and I have been avid about having him up here. And, you know, Ben, this is what bad teams do. They cut loose the veterans and they bring up the young guys in hopes that they can catch some fire in a bottle. And that's really, it's just a distress call. It's Brewers management waving the white flag, shooting a flare into the air, and just saying, yeah, it probably isn't going to happen. Let's see what this kid can do. And that's really what it boils down to. As far as the war between Scooter fans and Ricky fans, I've noticed that too, and it is a little off-putting, but, you know, it's the same thing like when Aaron Rodgers took over for... I'm sorry to talk about football. I know
it's fine. It's still as close to sports-related, so...
I think the comparison is fair. I remember the first game Aaron Rodgers ran out of the tunnel as a Packer, and he got booed by Packer fans. And I think that... But, you know, the truth is that winning cures all, so I feel like if in 2 months Scooter Jennett is hitting 315 and, you know, he's scoring a lot of runs, he's not going to drive in runs, but he can certainly contribute to the team, I feel like people will just forget. And Ricky Weeks will just slip, you know, he'll just slip into obscurity. Like Daryl Hamilton or, I don't know, guys who just are good for a little while and then just fade away. Casey McGee, you know. They'll have to trade. The fact of the matter is that this is a move to see if they're going to need to move Ricky Weeks, because his contract is still holding for a few more years. And if they have something in Scooter that they like, then you can bet that Ricky Weeks is not going to be around for much longer anyways. So that's also what it is. It doesn't make a lot of baseball sense, but from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. You got to know what you have before you get rid of what you know you have.
And you really hate to see this happen with Weeks, because you know he has the potential to do really well, but, you know, you can't keep holding on that hope all season and he never comes through. So, like you said, it does make sense as a business standpoint, you know, bringing up a Scooter. But, you know, that's just one position out of many on the field that the Brewers, you know, have to play with. And Carlos Gomez is still doing well. Gene Segura is still doing well. You know, and there are talks... And, you know, I'm starting to see a little bit more of this, you know, Steve pick up on these, is, are the Brewers going to trade Aramis Ramirez and Corey Hart? Are they going to trade one, or are they going to trade both? And
probably both. Juan Francisco was the key to that, too.
You know, because I saw something, I forget who posted it, I want to say John Heyman posted it, was that the Yankees were sort of talking with the Brewers, or they hadn't been talking with the Brewers about Lyle Overbay, and I'm like, that would be kind of interesting. To get Lyle Overbay, who's been doing well in New York, but, you know, you bring him over to the NL, and, you know, can he fill the shoes of, really, Prince Fielder? Because the Brewers haven't had a consistent first baseman since Fielder. I mean, Hart's been out, Gamble's been really just not there. You know, they've had Taylor Green there before. You know, they had Unisky Betancourt and Alex Gonzalez there. So they haven't really had somebody really since Prince was there. And I'm not saying Lyle Overbay would have been the future, but, I mean, it would have been something to consider, you know, at the very least.
At this point, it's hard for me to make an argument against any sort of trade, but anyone who thinks that Lyle Overbay is the answer is highly delusional and needs to go back on their meds as soon as possible, because Lyle Overbay is not the answer. Lyle Overbay has never been the answer at any point in his career. So, people who are clamoring for a Lyle Overbay trade, I think they're missing the bigger picture here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think that would really be something to come to fruition, would be the Brewers trading for Lyle Overbay, considering they just traded for Juan Francisco. But, I mean, at some point, the Brewers have to realize, you know, we have all these players, and, you know, while they do well, you know, Hart, Ramirez... You know, would it be better to trade them for possible prospects, possible people we can get at least just to fill in for the time being? And I guess that's the point when I brought up last week when Chris Rose from Intentional Talk was talking about if it got that bad with the Brewers trade Ryan Braun for possible prospects. And I don't think it's that bad, but, you know, you have to wonder if they're doing the same thing with, you know, Ramirez and Hart, and even if it's the right move, because everybody thought last year, you know, they had to trade Zach Greinke. He's not going to be worth anything. And the Brewers had that run, and I'm not saying with Greinke they would have made the wild card, but they would have had a more decent shot with Greinke than without. So you have to wonder down the road if the Brewers do turn around and they come, you know, within, you know, 3-4 games of a wild card, would it have made a difference to have Hart or Ramirez on that roster?
I will tell you right now that I would give you 50-1 odds on the dollar. That's $50 for every $1 that you bet that the Brewers will not sniff more than 10 games out of the wild card.
Well, I mean, funnier things have happened, but
this would be a miracle. This would be some sort of act of the divine one. It would be just
it'd be like a 30 for 30 special.
You know? It would be a 30 for 30 special. It's really. I don't even know, Ben. I don't even know. Here's what I do know. I know that the moves on Monday with Juan Francisco and Scooter Gennett were management essentially waving the white flag. They were saying, it isn't going to happen, everybody, but we are still going to try to put on a show for you because Juan Francisco, what he lacks in every other category, he makes up for in power. So at least he might give us a show every once in a while, hit a monster home run that we can all marvel at. But the fact is that Gene Segura and Carlos Gomez and Ryan Braun and John LaCroix are the future of the organization, and everyone else at this point is basically scrap pieces. That's really how we have to look at it.
Even Aoki.
Yeah. He's already in his early 30s, man. If you can get, you know, it's it's a seller's market. You got to see what people are willing to give you for it. I mean, I would love to keep Aoki. I think he's a great player, but it isn't up to me. And I think that you have to look at what are the pieces you will not part with. And I think the four people that I named are the only ones who should be on that list. I feel like there is no asking price that I would accept for either of those four players, but everyone else has a price.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough because you have to look at a team that, like we were talking about last week, is stuck in this, are we rebuilding? Are we competing? What phase are we in? And clearly the Brewers are showing right now they're still trying to transition into some type of team that can make a run. After 2011, you know they have the potential to get there. It's just getting back there. And if it is trading away a lot of the team, you know, for other people or prospects, then, you know, so be it. It's going to be a few years then at that point. But, I mean, you'd rather have it eventually be there than not be there at all and just see them scramble every year and not get anywhere. Because that's kind of what's happening this year. I mean, five or six wins in the month of May, that's all. Awful.
Yeah, it's you, and I mean, as of right now, June is not shaping up to be much better. Baseball is such a unique sport in that the business aspect of it plays into it more than in other sports. You have to think about what's coming down the road and not what's right in front of you. And in baseball, you're also able to do that. You can look down the road and say, well, this is something, you know, I want this piece here. You know, I want Hunter Morris there in a year and a half or, you know, but right now they need to seriously consider, they need to dump salary and they need to add youth and try to rebuild like they did when they, you know, they grew Prince Fielder, they grew Ryan Braun, they grew Gallardo, you know, they need to start focusing on that more and less on bringing in 35-year-old pitchers who are past their prime.
Which is our next topic of discussion.
Good. Good segue, me. Well played.
Good job, Lou.
Yeah.
You know, with the draft starting tonight and going into tomorrow night and Saturday, you know, the Brewers at some point, you know, they've always been saying, oh, well, you know, we don't need a first pick. It's never helped us before. You know, we've had Tyler Thornburg. We've had Jimmy Nelson. We've had Hunter Morris in the past. You know, they've done really well. They weren't first-round picks. But, you know, you can't keep living off of that philosophy forever. And I think this year in particular is a good example of that because you give up that first-round pick for Kyle Loesch, who is 1-6 on the year, and I don't like to let records indicate how well a pitcher's doing, but he's a 4.39 ERA, just has not really done well for a while now. He started off, you know, out of the gate pretty well, but he's just been average, less than average since then, and just really, in my opinion, doesn't really look worth the pick, but at the time, it's just one of those things you were hoping would work out, but you didn't know. But I think this wasn't one of the Brewers' better signings, honestly.
While I agree with you 100%, Ben, everything you said is accurate, the reality is that he is the most reliable pitcher that we have.
Yeah.
That, my friend, is the reality of the situation. Is he worth it? No. But where would we be without him?
The fact that Loesch leads the starting pitchers with an ERA of 4.39 is very scary.
He also usually gives us at least 5 innings, and I can't say that for anyone else either.
No.
You know, Yovani Gallardo, I feel bad for him. You know, that game the other night that just got away from him. He seems to be getting better now every start. You know, there is improvement, it seems like, but boy, that one inning, that was a doozy.
Yeah, he only gave up one run through, I think, 4 innings, and then he, 5 innings, and he gets to that 7th inning and just cannot do anything right. Oakland just killing him. But, you know...
Damn sabermetrics.
Exactly. I mean, you just hope at some point that, you know, well, not really hope, you know that Gallardo can break out of this, and you hope that the rest of the rotation can too. But Loesch, for example, it just... I mean, I understand, you know, the logic that you need some type of veteran presence in that rotation. And we had that. We were going to get that in Ryan Dubster. But Mulva was like, no, I don't want to give 3 years to anybody. But he ends up giving it to Kyle Loesch. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm skeptical of Loesch because of his past 2 seasons compared to the rest of his career. But I am. Because while he has had, you know, really good seasons in 2011 and 2012... the rest of his career has not been that great. And I feel like for a guy who's 34 going on 35, it's a bit too much of a commitment to give him 3 years for $33 million and give him a draft pick for him. I don't know. I mean, if this was... I can't even think of a guy. But if it was a guy who had proven himself more, you know, not only in the NL Central, but as a veteran pitcher, then I'd say, yeah, you know, it might be worth it at some point. But with Loesch, I was just so on the fence about it. Well, I was happy that we did get somebody. I just felt like I don't know if it's worth giving up the pick for. And now, watching the draft tonight, I feel like that really, really is going to come back to bite us.
Yep. just final. The Brewers are 15 games under 500.
Well, at least it's not 16.
My dog is outraged about it. I don't know if the microphone picked up his growls. He was very displeased. You know, these sorts of slumps, they really affect the pets more than the owners. It's very hard on them.
Well, dogs have that, like, 6th sense. They can tell that stuff. You know, I mean... For audience out there that is seen the movie Terminator, I mean, they can sense Terminators, too.
That's a good point. So they can sense the Terminators.
They can sense Terminators and when the Brewers do poorly. So, there's that. But moving on from Loesch, because I'm sick of kind of talking about starting pitching.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, as you all know, the whole biogenesis thing with Ryan Braun, Alex Rodriguez, Moki Cabrera, and 17 other players, this thing just does not seem to die. It's just like, I don't even know what to compare it to, but it just does not go away. And now Tony Bosch has stepped forward. It's that he's willing to reveal the names, blah, 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 blah. But, honestly, it means crap, because, sure, he can go ahead and say, you know, Alex Rodriguez, Ryan Braun, Moki Cabrera bought PEDs, blah, 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 blah. But if he has no proof, I mean, there's no proof. That's like me going over to England and saying, yeah, I'm the president of the United States, but I have no proof of it. So, you know, it's just...
I could make you a button.
Well, I mean, that would be nice. I would like that.
Then 2016, I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know Ryan Braun personally. I don't know whether he's guilty or not. I'd like to think he's not, but, you know, there's going to be one or two conclusions at the end of this whole thing when it's over and done with, which might not be for a very long time, is either A, Ryan Braun is a colossal liar, or B, he's a very unfortunate victim in all of this. And it's hard to say because we don't know. You know, logically thinking, we have no idea whether Ryan Braun took PEDs or not. But this whole scenario is just completely getting so blown out of proportion by the media, by primarily ESPN.
Ben, you said a lot of things that I hate very deeply. You have reached the peak of my hate-o-meter.
It's been a bad day for you, man.
Here's the thing, Ben. The only thing that I know 100% in my gut that is true is that regardless of the outcome of this Biogenesis thing, anyone who is not a Milwaukee Brewers fan, and even some Milwaukee Brewers fans, will always think that Brown was a cheater and always just assume that he did it. And at this point, it would be really hard for me to hold that against people. You know, you get caught with it one time and you kind of get out of harm's way. You know, if he was stupid enough to go back to the well again, then, you know, he deserves to get caught and we deserve to know about it. But regardless, none of that is important. What I do know, like I said, is that his legacy or his persona is permanently tarnished everywhere outside of Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, you already thought it was bad enough when the Brewers would go to Busch Stadium to play the Cardinals or go to Wrigley to play the Cubs, and he's already getting booed. I mean, now you have literally the entire city booing him, the entire state booing him. And, you know, yeah, when it happened in 2011 that came out about the test and then he, you know, was able to appeal it, you know, that was a huge thing. Then it comes out January, about the Biogenesis thing, and you're like, okay. And then this happens, and you're like, wow, that's three times you've heard his name associated with that. And at some point, you have to be like, okay, either there's nothing there, and he's just wrapped up in this, unfortunately, or there's something there. And as a Brewers fan, it's hard to really, I guess, put this into perspective, because you don't want him to be caught, but if he is, there's nothing you can do about it, you know? If he is guilty, he's guilty. There's nothing you can do about it. But if he's not, you're like, yeah, take that, MLB.
I would like to point out that it isn't three separate incidents. The Biogenesis thing is really one incident. It's just two different implications. It's just, so he's really only been attributed to PEDs two times, but ESPN would want you to believe that it's three. I feel like they've said that all day, every day for the last 2 days, that it was three. Three times he's been attached to it, and it's like, no, that isn't true. It's just two times, but you've implicated him differently in each one. The first time it was I went to them for, you know, for their counsel. The second time it was I bought from Dr. Sleazebag Magoo. Sorry. I knew we shouldn't talk about this. I'm really censoring myself. For everyone listening at home, all 11 of you, I am really censoring myself. There's a lot that I hate going on right now in baseball. A lot that I hate. And the Pied Piper of just all things that are wrong with the world, Bud Selig, is right out front with his fiddle with all his little mice dancing behind him.
Sleeps bang with you. I'm still laughing about that. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It was, yeah. And he is, though. Have you seen pictures of that guy?
I have.
He looks like Pauly Shore. He looks like a slightly, like a slightly over-tanned Pauly Shore.
Oh my god, speaking of Pauly Shore, no, this is getting really off topic.
Wow, that's the first time that's been uttered in this decade. Speaking of Pauly Shore.
When I was in high school, I had this friend in high school who was like, man, I can't believe Pauly Shore is dead. And I'm like, no, he's not. And he goes, he's not? I thought he was dead for like 10 years. I'm like, no, Pauly Shore is still alive.
Yeah, Pauly Shore is definitely alive. Your friend is a dumbass. Oop. I can say that, right?
I don't care anymore.
I don't know that. I think the only people that listen are the RTB writing staff, and maybe Eric.
Maybe somebody in a random country gets a hold of this. Maybe they listen to it too.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'm at the point where I just don't care. My allergies are killing me. My back hurts. I'm tired from work. I'm just like, You know what? Go for it.
Yeah, tell me about it. We're getting a puppy tomorrow. This place is not nearly ready.
Oh, what kind?
I don't know. He's just a mutt of some sort. He's part beagle and dachshund and maybe black lab and maybe some border collie, maybe a little Dutch-Irish, some Jamaican. I have no idea what this dog is. He's a good dog. Behaves himself.
He'll give your other dog some company then.
Yeah, Walter always needs company.
I mean, who wouldn't after seeing the Brewers getting dismantled every day?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this new dog, I did have to sign a special waiver saying that, you know, I would not inflict psychological harm on the new dog due to my fandom. Because I have been known to scream at my television. Which, I knew one, by the way.
Oh, nice.
No, that's not true. I didn't break the first one. I just thought I'd keep that gag going, but then I ruined it immediately.
Well, hey, if you break it, you get a new one. You get one of those nice, you know, flat edge. You know.
No, if I broke the TV, my wife would never allow such foolishness. Ben, you'll learn these things as you grow old. Those things are not allowed.
And that's why I'm not getting married.
Oh, come on. You say that now.
Yeah.
But time changes those things. I'm an old man, Ben.
I'm getting back on track to the Brewers because...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is what we were talking about.
This is totally a baseball podcast, you know.
Not when I'm on, it's not.
Something I wanted to bring up was about Chris Narveson. And, you know, he's on the way back. And I'm not saying Chris Narveson is like the second coming of Christ for the Brewers, but in a sense he kind of is. Because this is a rotation that has had no left-handed starter in it. You know, Narveson, I'm not going to say has been successful in Milwaukee, but he's done well enough to be a starter. He's going to go out and give you at least 5 or 6 innings. But it's kind of nice to see he's coming back. You know, because after him missing a lot of time last year, and, you know, getting injured this year, having him back into this rotation that is just has really been god-awful. I mean, you have Rolling Peralta, who I don't know if he's even deserving of a spot in the rotation anymore. Marco Estrada, who's on the DL. Gallardo, who hasn't gotten it together. Loesch, who's just kind of leading the rotation, but not really. And then just that open fifth spot that goes between Figueroa and now Gorzolani. And just, I think having Narveson back might help this team a little bit more.
Chris Narveson is the Jerry O'Connell of the Brewers. He did really good at first. He did Stand By Me, and then things weren't very good for a long time, and then he kind of grew into his body a little bit, and then all of a sudden he was back, and he was making Kangaroo Jack, and life seemed pretty good. And then things kind of detoured again. But then he married John Stamos' ex-wife, and so things seemed okay. They were in the playoffs, and... Where was I going with this? Chris Narveson
is not... Are we talking
about
the same person here?
Yeah, we're talking about the same person. Chris Narveson is... I'm very neutral about Chris Narveson. I've always kind of been neutral about him. He isn't good, he isn't bad, he just exists.
At least he's a lefty. I mean, there's a positive, right?
That is a positive. I mean, having a lefty will be a nice change of pace. But Chris Narveson does not do change of pace. His fastball tops out at blistering 88. He's... Changeup is right behind it at 86. His curveball clocks in around 87. His slider is about 86.5.
You know, and I didn't know this, and now I do. He was on the 2006 World Series Championship Cardinals team.
Yeah, he was. You didn't know that?
I did not know that. I don't know why I never knew that. I just found that out.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
He sure was. He was a bullpen baby back then.
Why can't you bring some of that magic here?
They never bring that magic here.
Oh, you played with the Cardinals? You're going to go to the Brewers? Here's a contract to suck.
I hate to bring up football again, but the Brewers are essentially the Minnesota Vikings, because the Brewers eat all of the Cardinals scraps just like the Vikings eat all of the Packers scraps, and it's disgusting to watch.
So
I hate it.
So you think Greg Jennings is going to be bad now?
I don't think he's going to be what they expect him to be. I don't think he'll be bad. I don't wish any ill will on Greg Jennings. I just know that he's not a number one receiver like he seems to think he is. He was never the number one receiver. I don't know why he thought that. He played in the slot.
Well, I mean, a lot of that also goes with Ponder, and because Christian Ponder isn't really the best option for Minnesota to use at quarterback at all. I mean, he's just kind of there.
God, I have sidetracked us so terribly.
So talking about Christian Ponder for Vikings.
I'm not redeeming myself at all. I'm Buzz Killington right now.
It's fine. We didn't talk about the Brewers, so...
When things are bad, they get really bad.
You know, at least there's a positive... You know, especially there's a positive for you, Lou. I mean, in our fantasy league, you're in third place.
Yeah, so that's good at least. But this week I'm getting knocked around. But I don't want to talk about fantasy just because I'm better than you and Colin and Kurt and Justin. That's not what I'm here to talk about today.
But I just want to bring up the fact that I'm... currently beating Colin, who's not here.
Colin, who is behind Kurt now.
He's Colin's at last.
Unbelievable. And Colin was the one walking around like he was the cock of the walk before the draft about how he was going to rock everybody's world. He better get ready to cough up one of those Derek Turnbow autographed baseballs because that's coming to live at my house.
Is that it? That's how badly you want it?
Yeah. Do you know that he has three of those?
Really?
He has three autographed Derek Turnbow balls. One is one too many. He has three.
I think half of one's one too many.
I remember him asking me about it. He was like, should I make that a prize? I was like, if you don't make that a prize, I will take that as a personal insult. If I had three Derek Turnbow autographed baseballs, I wouldn't have them because I would have got rid of them ages ago.
Yeah, those would have been in the trash.
I would have used them, like, to play catch with. Neighborhood kids. I've never played catch with the neighborhood kids. I don't know why that was my example.
I don't know you torture them with that.
Yeah, but Derek Turnbow, wow, I can't wait. I'll put it right next to my Hank Aaron autographed baseball, and people will be like, what? That's not true. I won't put it next to the Hank Aaron ball.
Yeah. I think the last thing we can get into today.
I did want to talk about that Ricky Weeks home run getting overturned. And here's why I want to talk about it. It has actually a little to do with the Brewers, but it has to do with they want to expand instant replay, and here's the problem I have with that, Ben. Why are we going to expand something that umpires clearly don't know how to use in the first place? It's like building the first level of a two-story house on toothpicks and then like shaking it a little bit and then proceeding to build the second story. Like, why would you add more to something that they obviously have incredible difficulty with? They have blown so many calls while having instant replay at their discretion that I almost am having a hard time. Like, I almost want them to just do away with it all over again. Like, I don't want it at all then because it's just getting ridiculous. That ball clearly hit the top of the wall on the yellow, and there's no other way to view it. I don't know how else they could have seen that play.
Or the Jonathan Lucroy supposed to be grand slam that he turned into a three-run triple.
Yeah. You just, like, I watch these, and it's not even just Brewer games. There are other times where you've seen this, and you just go, or they don't use it at all. I've seen that a bunch of times. They don't use it, period. And it's like, why are we even talking about expanding it when we're not using it right now? And I almost just put my foot in my mouth and went right back down the biogenesis road. See, it's all I can think about, Ben. It's really hard for me right now to function in everyday society.
That is a good point to bring up, is because they make, like you said, they make such a push for it. But when they do use it, it's like you have four guys looking at the same thing. You're going to tell me, no, one of those people said, oh, I think that's a home run.
That's the problem that I had with that call the other night. I watched it, thank you to the wonderful gift of DVR, I watched it 35 times, 40 times, and not one time did I come to any conclusion other than it hit the yellow top of the wall. That is by rule a home run. And every time I went, I don't know what they could have possibly seen to make them change their mind. Because I didn't see it.
No, it's just... I don't know, because it's clearly a problem. An expanded replay is something that I know Bud Selig wants to have happen, but I don't think it's going to happen while he's still commissioner. But when it does eventually happen, you have to have the people that are going to, you know, use it properly and not make the same bad calls on the field that they're going to be making with instant replay. Because then what's the point of it, you know?
Exactly.
It's just making them look more, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, stupid.
Well, you just don't add more to something that isn't working. It's like if you go to work at McDonald's and you're having a really difficult time putting the fries in the deep fryer, they probably shouldn't advance you to burger patty flipping duties because you're clearly not ready. And this is an almost identical situation to not being able to put French fries into a deep fryer. It's, if they can't use the system as it works right now, why on earth would we advance them? Why on earth would we give them more replay to look at?
Only in America do we come across comparisons and analogies that deal with McDonald's.
I feel like it's the most relatable thing, which is truly depressing. It was either that or my sock hop analogy, and so I went with McDonald's. Felt like our audience wouldn't know what a sock hop was.
Even if not really.
You're not entirely certain? It's basically a dance, but that's what they called them in the 1950s, were sock hops. Get it? Because your socks would be hopping.
Uh-huh.
See, it's very clever, people back then. Very punny.
But I'm Tish. Well, is there anything else you want to add before we get into pitcher and hitter of the week?
Was there anything else that bugged me or made me angry this week? No. Were there any good things? Any things I saw that I liked? There was something I saw the other day that I liked. What was it? Oh, other than John Axford kicking some major... I wanted to swear. He's really rocking right now.
He's
back. And, you know, he just goes in ups and downs like that. So how about next time he has a little lull, we leave him the F alone. How's about that?
Yeah.
Ricky Weeks has been going on for 2 months, and we're only starting to boo him. So let's be careful. But that wasn't it. Somebody looked really good. Oh, it was Juan Francisco at first base. He made a couple of really nice plays in his first start as a Brewer. Some nice catches. He looked pretty comfortable. I like how he stands in the batter's box. I feel like if Jerry Nairn and his brother are as good as they're supposed to be, that maybe they can do something with that big beast of a man.
Hey, anything's possible in this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly has potential. I mean, the Braves obviously saw something in him because they kept him around for 5 or 6 years. So, I mean...
And he's young, too. I mean, he's only 25.
He's only 25. So, I mean, maybe there's something there. You never know. But, you know, it's obvious that they're either going to have him play third base or first base. So one of our pals is going away. My guess would be that if it happens sooner rather than later, it'll be Ramirez.
Yeah, I mean...
Corey Hart has to be playing before they can trade him.
I mean, you hate to see either one of them go away, but, you know, it has to eventually happen.
That's what happens on bad teams, man.
Well, getting to this last segment for pitcher and hitter of the week. And I never thought... 2 weeks ago, if I would have done this, I probably would have been like, I'm on something. Speaking of being on something, how about Chris Perez of the Indians getting busted with all that pot?
Yeah, that was mine. I sent that to the wrong house. That's my bad. My bad, Chris Perez. That's on me, brother.
Which already sucks, because he was on the DL, and then...
Yeah. Injury to insult. But you know what's amazing? What's amazing to me is that, well, aside from the jail time, if he wasn't going to jail, he'd get, like, a 2-game suspension. That's what slays me, really, more than anything, is that if he doesn't go to jail, he'll only get suspended for, like, 3 games.
Oh, he won't go to jail.
Oh, yeah, he'll go to jail. If they can prove that he was trafficking reefer, because now they'll get a warrant to his house.
Oh, yeah. He was trafficking it. I thought it was just like he just had some of smoking, like Tim Lincecum.
No, it showed up at his doorstep. There was a huge box full of weed at his doorstep.
I guess it's time to drop him now. I guess I'll go with Heath Bell as my third.
Do you have Chris Perez?
Unfortunately.
Oh my god, man, your team hurts me inside. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that, but yeah, I think he might go to jail. I don't know that for sure. I might be misinformed. But yeah, I had heard that it's not good.
Great. Well, going for hitter.
You might want to check my sources on that, which I don't know what they are exactly.
Let me check that really quick. So.
Yeah, check on what the Chris Perez reefer story is, but I could have sworn it was a box full of reefers delivered to his doorstep, addressed to him.
Control delivery of narcotics, blah, 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 blah.
There you go. Yeah, so he's going to jail.
Well, oh well. I have Heath Bell now, so... Which isn't really much of a step up, but...
It really isn't.
At least Heath Bell's not dealing drugs.
It's true. He was not on drugs.
Maybe he'll get back to Arizona.
He might be. Maybe he will be on drugs soon. The suspension's only like a couple days. But if you do steroids, so help you.
But going for a hitter of the week, though, I had to choose Ricky Weeks.
Are we still doing that?
Yeah, I had to choose Ricky Weeks. The past week, he's hitting .385. A home run, two RBIs, even a walk thrown in there, two extra base hits aside from the home run. And get this, he's only struck out three times in the past week.
Oh my God, we're going to get to see his 1,000th strikeout. No,
we just might.
Here's the thing. The moment they called up Scooter, he went bonkers. Because he knew, I think that it lit a fire under him, so maybe that was part of it too. Is that they called him up specifically to get Ricky Weeks scared, because when was the last time Ricky Weeks had to really compete for his job?
I completely and 100% agree with that, because, yeah, as soon as Scooter came up and there was news of Scooter moving from, you know, Nashville to Milwaukee, Weeks probably just hit the panic button. And, you know.
The day that Scooter got called up, Ricky Weeks hits, I'm counting it, he hit two home runs. One no-doubter and one that is debatable, but a home run nonetheless. He had two home runs the day that Scooter got called up. That is not a coincidence.
He went to, like, DEFCON 1 on that. He had to go to DEFCON 1.
It's time for everyone to be on DEFCON 1. There is no more, oh, it's a long season. It's a 162-game season. There's no more, it's one-third and one-third and what you do with the middle third. No, it's time. All that's over. You have to start winning games, otherwise you might as well just eat more sunflower seeds.
Yeah, that is true. Do you have a hitter of the week,
Luke? Oh, jeez, do I? let's see, who did I get? I think Gene Segura I gave it to last week. I'll give it to Carlos Gomez this week because he continues to be better than I thought he would be coming into his first contract year. So he had that triple the other day, and yeah, he's sweet. He's a good ball player. I like his work ethic. I like his hustle. One of the few bright spots of this season to date.
Plus, he steals bases like crazy.
Yeah, I like that too. He might be our 30 for 30 guy.
Yeah.
He might be our 30-30 dude. Because he'll steal the 30 bases, and he should be able to hit 30 home runs, it seems like.
He and Brown.
Yeah.
Pitcher of the week, I had to go with Axford, because he's been dominant. He hasn't allowed a run in so long. He's been into trouble a little few times, you know, walked a few people here and there, given up a few hits, but he hasn't allowed a run. He's picked up his first two wins, one against St. Louis, which is pretty sweet, two holds in the time being, just really looking like himself out there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with our boy, too. Really, it's an easy decision. Actually, you know what? My pitcher of the week, I'm gonna do something crazy. I'm not gonna go with a pitcher. I'm gonna go with a pitching play of the week. So John Asper did great. I'd like to publicly acknowledge that John did a great job. But the K-Rod pickoff move to Gene Segura, whether Gene bobbled the ball or not is irrelevant. That was awesome.
It was.
K-Rod looked like a guy who actually was having fun playing baseball. He threw his whole body weight around, and he fell flat on his face to throw that ball. It was cool, and it was like watching a guy who actually cared about winning baseball games play, which you very rarely see these days in Brewer uniforms.
You know,
but that was sweet. That was definitely the play of the week, even though Gene dropped the ball and the guy was safe. That's irrelevant now.
And everybody's like, oh, he should have told the umpire. He's going to tell the umpire he dropped the ball. Really.
Dude, I play in two different softball leagues. You never tell the umpire. In fact, it's encouraged to trick the umpire. If I don't step on the bag at third, but the umpire doesn't see it, I just keep running off the field. I pretend like I did it, even if I know I didn't do it. Baseball is not a game of truth and honesty, evidenced by biogenesis, decades of steroids, years of gambling and shaving runs, which was then previously, and then let's see, what was it before that? Oh yeah, everything was legal. Drinking in the dugout, gambling in the dugout, smoking in the dugout. So let's, you know.
Yeah.
Let's take it easy.
So I don't think a little drop ball is going to beat all of that.
Yeah, so no baseball player is going to admit that he bobbled the ball. That's stupid. But whoever said that is full of nonsense.
You know, I almost picked Francisco Rodriguez as the pitcher of the week for you know, my pick. But, you know, just because of how well John Axford's done, I had to pick him. But, you know, K-Rod hasn't been that bad either. I mean, 3 saves on the season so far and a really low ERA. And he's 3 saves away from 300. So,
yeah, he'll get that this year. That'll be cool.
What if he got that on the same night that Ricky Weeks has his 1,000th strikeout and we're there to see both?
Well, if he only gets 3 saves between now and the time that we're there, it's not going to be a very fun weekend then. That is just a fact, dude. I hope that he has done it before that. The Ricky Weeks strikeout thing, I'm more optimistic about. But if K-Rod is only getting his 3rd save for his 3, like if that's his only 3rd opportunity, I'm not going to be happy.
Well, you're either just winning by so much that he doesn't have a chance.
You're gonna be driving us back to my house from the games because I am going to be inebriated beyond repair.
Well, maybe the Brewers keep winning by like 20 runs or something, and that's why he can't get any saves.
No, so you're a dreamer, Ben. That's what I love about you. You're a dreamer of dreams.
You have to be in this game sometimes.
Yeah, it's obviously I have a hard time with that. Who's your goat of the week? We didn't do Goat of the Week last week, I realized.
Oh, God.
There's so many to choose from.
There really are. I think, really, until further notice, it's probably Willie Peralta. He had a nice outing against the Phillies last week, but he's just sucked the rest of the season.
He's on perma-goat probation.
He really is. He just has not done anything, really, at all. He's walking more people than he strikes out. He's giving up homers like crazy. He's giving up an insane amount of hits a game. Just really getting pummeled out there. And I mean, he lost tonight, so I just...
Yes, he did. Again, in fine fashion. I'm gonna one-up you, not intentionally. Rick Kranitz is my goat of the week.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to choose a...
Yeah, you can pick whoever you want, Ben. There are no guidelines to this. This was what I understood.
Okay. It's
just someone in the organization... Rick Kranitz is my goat of the week. His pitching staff sucks. And I don't know what they're doing to improve it, but it hasn't gotten better in almost 2 full months now. It just hasn't improved. So you're not doing a very good job. And you know what happens when someone doesn't do a good job? They get fired.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Rick Kranitz because I wrote that article not too long ago.
I read said article.
About Rick Kranitz walking a tightrope in Milwaukee, and I still believe that's true to this very day. I don't want to solely blame Rick Kranitz for the problems, because obviously last year was a bullpen issue, this year it's a starting rotation issue. But man, you got to figure something out. I mean,
you have to make some sort of change. You can't just count that things are going to turn around, because I think you can only do that for so long. Look, man, I don't know, you were not very old when 2001 through 2004 happened, or the Davey Lopes era, as I like to call it. But man, at least that team didn't seem like they were, you know, emaciated gophers. Like, they played with heart, at least. At least there was some fire. This team is just, has none of that. And the pitching staff, they're the biggest offenders. Like, I don't see them, you know, being mad after a bad inning. Like, they just walk off the mound and they go sit in the dugout, and it's like, I just don't feel like they give a crap anymore.
Well, Ricky doesn't really have a lot of fire. So.
Yeah, that's something that I've always felt. Every time that they hire a coach, I go, that's not the right person. Ned Yost was close because at least he would get in their face and yell at them. Ken Maka... I have, by the way, I do a really good Ken Maka impression now. It's getting better all the time. One of these days, I'm going to unveil it on you guys. I'm getting really good at it, though. I'm starting to pick up his mannerisms. It's going to be great. It's a lot easier than I thought it would be. And then they hired Ron Renneke, and I was like, I think that he's a good guy, but I was like, he's not the right person for this job, because they need to be yelled at.
I mean, you'll see Renicky occasionally argue, but Ken Maka, I thought the man was dead.
Ken Maka didn't do anything. I don't even know what he was doing there.
I don't know if I thought he was dead or if he was just sleeping on the bench. Like
I think they hired Madame Tussauds to come and make a wax statue of him in different poses. And I feel like before they would camera down into the dugout, they would adjust him so that it looked like a different person. I don't think that Ken Maka even exists. I think that he's like Santa Claus. He's just a legend that was made up by the Dutch or something, and he visits children in the night or something. Actually, I hope not. God, I hope Ken Maka does not visit children in the night. I immediately regret what I just said. Ken Maka does not visit children in the night. Strike that from all records.
We in Revenge the Brew do not endorse this.
Wow. Whoops. I did not mean that to come out that way. I think everyone knows what I mean. But
I think that's worse than saying any swear word on this show.
Yeah, that's probably not good, what I just did there. But I mean, I think I've made my point.
Yes.
That guy, I just don't care for him. I'll give a little plug to myself since we're winding down, but I'm doing an interview with Frank Catalanato for Hollow Very Good right now. And I asked him in the interview, why he thought Ken Maka didn't work out in Milwaukee. So I tried to ask it in a way where he didn't feel bad about like opening up about it. And so I asked Frank Catalanato why he thought Ken Maka didn't work out in Milwaukee. I worded it very politely so that he could maybe give me an honest answer, like, that guy sucked. Or was Ken Maka the coach then? I forgot. I'm just saying that's what I'm hoping Frank will say back to me, is that he forgot that Ken Maka, like, Ken, oh yeah, yeah, I see. Was that? Well, I guess that was Ken Maka. Huh. Yeah, I forgot about that, actually. That's kind of what I'm hoping he says back.
That'd be kind of amazing.
Yeah, Frank Catalano, nice guy. That's all I got, Ben. I'm as you can tell, I'm tired. I'm on edge because of the Biogenesis thing, because I've had to talk about it for two straight days in different sectors of what we do, with different fan-sided people and different outside people, and I'm just sick of it. If anybody really wants to hear what I have to say about it, maybe I'll just do a one-man podcast and just rant about it for at least 3 to 4 hours. It'll be more like a dissertation. I'll probably need a chalkboard, so it'll be more like a vlog more than anything else.
Well, hey, whatever gets the creative juices flowing, I mean, you know, that's how you do it.
The whole situation just reeks of 1930s crime movies. Like, there's bribery, there's intrigue, there's a voluptuous woman. I don't know who she is, but she's there. It's probably Erin Andrews. I don't know. If she might be busy. But it's just, this whole thing just stinks of Bud Selig. I hate it.
Speaking of, not really speaking of anything, but going back to the draft, the Brewers have already selected two players.
Who did they select? I'm not going to know either of them, so it doesn't matter.
With the 54th pick, they took Devin Williams. He is a right-handed pitcher out of Hazelwood West High School from Missouri. And then in the competitive balance round B, which I'm not sure what that is, they took Tucker Newhouse, who is a shortstop out of Wharton High School in Florida.
Hmm. Okay.
Tucker Newhouse is 17 years old.
Holy cow.
95. Or no, he's 8. He'll be 18 within the next week or so. And then Devin Williams is 18. So, you know, got some pretty young guys there now. So.
How about that? They're usually young guys. Yeah. We'll see. We'll probably never hear those two names ever again. Is actually the reality of the situation. People probably never hear their names again.
That's positivity.
You got it, man. The MLB draft to me is just, you never know what you're going to get. And in fact, some of your best players are the players you don't even draft. They just appear one day through acquisitions or magical trades. So
that is true.
Those two guys, I bet we'll never even see them in Brewers uniforms. You know, Jake Odorizzi has started pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays, and man, do I wish we still had that guy right now.
You know who I wish we still had?
Who?
Ben Sheets.
No, you don't. You say that, but I know you don't mean it.
At this point, a little bit.
Where is Ben Sheets right now?
I believe he was with Atlanta.
He got to be retired. Atlanta, no. They're way too good to need Ben Sheets.
No, he was pitching for him last year.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean this year. What have you done for me lately, Ben Sheets?
This year, Ben Sheets is not pitching with anybody.
He's retired, yeah.
Oh, I guess he is. You know, I mean...
I don't know if he's retired. I was just saying that would be my guess.
Regardless, though, I mean...
What?
I said regardless, though, I mean... I guess he is retired. It says former professional baseball pitcher. I did not know that either. Wow. Okay, then.
Well, all right.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening. For those of you that still are listening, if we had to pick a foreign country from where we think our foreign country person's listening from, where would you say? I would have to say Russia.
Oh, so, well, here's what I would say. So, when you do stuff on what is it, blogger.com, you get a lot of random hits from foreign countries. I've found... historically, through the podcast that my wife and I did, all one of them so far, and the fantasy football blog that I write for my idiot friends, I've discovered that I am huge in the Ukraine.
Wow, that's a...
So I feel like a few Ukrainian people might be tuning in. I'm huge in the Ukraine. I don't know why. Maybe it's my flowing golden locks. I have no idea what it is. But I'm big in the Ukraine, so that would be my guess. My Ukrainian followers are pretty strong.
I just looked up how to say hello in Ukrainian. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but I think it's private. I don't know. But hello, Ukrainian listeners.
But you tried. What did you do? Did you type it into Google Translate?
I just typed it into Google how to say hello in Ukrainian, and that's what came up.
Good work. But, you almost had it.
Almost. But for those of you listening, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for next week. So hopefully we stay more on track and don't talk about Christian Ponder.
Nope, no promises.
Thanks, everybody.